These are strange days filled with worry, fear, even sadness. So much of life has been disrupted and been put on hold. But our faith gives us hope. God is our refuge and our source of strength. And we can lean on God in these times and find the direction and the wisdom we need for navigating these difficult days. Now, I saw something in the grocery store this week that I'd never seen before. Empty shelves. The coronavirus pandemic has driven people to go to grocery stores and buy up all kinds of supplies. Now, businesses are trying to keep up, and the supply chain is doing its best. But all the hoarding has left many shelves empty. Let's just remember not to hoard in this time that we find ourselves in. There is enough for everyone. So resist that urge to buy a year's worth of toilet paper. You don't need to do that right now. We find a message about hoarding and being greedy in today's scripture from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Now, this passage is part of a larger section of teaching that includes all of chapter 12 and the first half of chapter 13. In this section, Jesus is teaching both the crowds and his disciples, teaching them one at a time. And broadly, what he's teaching is on trust. Where are people looking for their security is more or less what Jesus is getting at. And Jesus responds to this matter by talking about several different things, one of which is greed. Now, we'll look at this in Luke chapter 13, and there's a great parable. It's the parable of the rich fool. As we listen to this parable, I invite you to consider what makes this man a fool. Keep in mind that he works diligently and wisely. He's a long-term thinker and planner, and he saves his resources rather than squandering them. So what makes him such a fool? Well, keep that in mind now as I read from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And the scripture says, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take care. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions.' Then he told them a parable. 'The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. In the movie Wall Street, Gordon Gekko preaches greed is good. And we can probably think of other fictional or even real-life people who live with the same attitude. After all, we live in a culture where consuming more money, more stuff, more experiences, more of everything is taken for granted. But the church has long recognized that greed is a dangerous sin. Although we don't always recognize it when it infects our lives. Greed can be quite skilled at disguising itself. Sometimes it even comes across in a virtuous way. Now, Gordon Gekko saw greed as a very good thing. In his speech to a group of business leaders, he said, "The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed in all its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, for knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind." We've been led to believe that greed has ultimately improved life, which then tempts us to think that we don't really need to deal with it as a problem. There are bigger issues to deal with. We even use theology to help justify our desire to accumulate more money, more things, more of whatever. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, "Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Now, one of the things people like to point out with this scripture is that greed is not about possessing wealth or even desiring wealth, but rather loving it. But this is where we tend to muddy the waters. We may say with gratitude that God has enabled us to accumulate wealth. We may even attempt to sanctify our wealth by attributing it to God, as if our wealth simply fell from heaven, as if it were manna. And we ignore the relationship our wealth has to the life choices we made to acquire that wealth. Now, I'm not saying that wealth is good or bad, but I am pushing us to think critically about the ways greed can disguise itself. Now, let's keep in mind that greed can be a sneaky sin. But what exactly is it? How should we define greed? Well, I think in the most straightforward way, we can say that greed is a craving for more. Now, picture in your mind a hand that grasps tightly onto something and won't let go. It's a clenched fist, and that fist symbolizes the desire to possess and acquire something. Now, one kind of person that epitomizes the clenched fist is a hoarder, and hoarders don't like to let go of anything. I've watched some of those television shows that take us into the homes of hoarders. Every room is packed from ceiling to floor with newspapers, boxes, trash, and who knows what else. Hoarders relentlessly acquire more stuff, and they guard their possessions, never willing to let go of anything. And yet that causes them all kinds of problems. Now, we meet a man in Luke chapter 12 who seems to have a clenched fist mentality. This man had been listening to Jesus teach, and he asked Jesus to help settle an inheritance dispute that he had with his brother. Now, let's remember that it wasn't unusual for rabbis to be brought in to settle disputes like this. Jesus had probably heard of other families who had split up over squabbles similar to this. But whenever a family deals with an inheritance, there's always the potential for conflict and division. Sometimes family members forget to practice love with each other, and instead they scream and argue about getting their fair share. And in the end, they may get what they were arguing about, but they've hurt their relationships. And that comes with a lot of pain. This is why Jesus says that real life, abundant life, doesn't come from acquiring more and more stuff. Now, to illustrate this point, Jesus told a story about a rich fool whose land produced abundantly. This man had such a big harvest that he decided to tear down his barns and build bigger barns so that he could store up all of his stuff. His goal was to have a life of ease. But that wouldn't be in the future for him. In fact, in the parable, God says to him, "This very night, your life is being demanded of you." Craving more and more stuff ultimately cost that rich man his life. So greed is about craving more money and more possessions. It's about accumulating and possessing. But it isn't limited to material things. We might also crave more honor, more knowledge, more power, more authority, and the list goes on. And Jesus says that this desire for more ultimately gets in the way of the abundant life that he offers. Now, a second part to our definition of greed should include what we might call unfettered consumption. Now, we've been brought up believing in the American dream, but in some respects, our culture has reduced that dream to nothing more than consuming more and more stuff. The late Will Campbell, who was an author and pastor, said that the problem really is that people are borrowing money that they don't have to buy things they don't need, to keep up with people they don't even like. And that really is the truth. We live in a society that wants us to spend and spend and spend. People are willing to rack up all kinds of debt as they discard old things in favor of new things. They want the upgrade and the latest model and whatever else captures their eye. But what we desire and what we consume tends to shape us. It forms our identity. But do we really want our consumption of things to have this kind of power over us? I don't think so. Now, a third piece to our definition of greed should include security. And what I mean by this is that greed is a craving for those things that we imagine will make us feel secure. Now, in the parable, the rich farmer put his heart and his soul into filling up his barns because he felt insecure about the future. He was fearful that he might not have enough to take care of his needs down the road. And that led him to live with a clenched fist mentality. He thought having more stored away would give him the peace of mind that he so desired, and he looked to himself for gaining that kind of security. When we're feeling insecure about the future, we become fearful, and we're tempted to fill up our barns. But where is faith in that? When we confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior, we need not place our security in the accumulation of possessions and laying up wealth. With Jesus in our lives, we need not worry about the future. But fear is what often drives our craving and our consumption. Now, people crave more because they're worried they won't have enough to live on in the future. And they consume more because they think it will help them find significance, worth, and value. In Jesus' parable, the rich man thought his possessions would bring meaning and value into his life. And so he kept all of his stuff to himself. And he aggressively went after a life where he could eat, drink, and be merry. He thought his happiness would come by hoarding his possessions instead of giving them away. But his greed was driven by fear. And fear is a spiritual problem. The way to overcome this fear is to practice generosity. The Marquis de Lafayette was a French general and politician who lived a very comfortable life, much like the rich man in Jesus' parable. We Americans know of him for the role that he played in the American Revolutionary War. But after the war, he returned to France, where he was a master over several different estates. Farming was his business. Well, in 1783, the harvest was a poor one, and yet his workers were still able to fill up his barns with wheat. One of his managers realized that the price for wheat was going up because the supply was down. And so he advised Lafayette that this would be a great time to sell, and if he did, he would make a fortune. Lafayette thought about this advice. It really did make a lot of sense to capitalize on this opportunity. But he also thought about the hungry peasants in the surrounding villages who weren't as fortunate as he. They were hungry, and they couldn't afford to buy the basic necessities of life. And so, to his manager's surprise, Lafayette said that this was not a time to sell. It was a time to give because there were so many needs. Generosity is the antidote to greed. When we hoard and refuse to share what we have, we give our possessions the power to own us rather than the other way around. It's when we give away the gifts that we've received that we truly find freedom. Now, if greed is synonymous with a clenched fist, then generosity is like an open hand, which is something we see again and again in the Bible. The Lord instructed Israel to not be tight-fisted toward their neighbors, but to freely give to them, especially the poor and the needy. Jesus instructed his disciples to give without concern of return. And Paul pointed out that Jesus himself did not cling to his life, but he freely gave himself to us for our redemption. Living with an open hand mentality reminds us that everything we have comes from God. The Lord blesses us with everything we need. An open hand also freely shares the gifts that it has received. And at the root of this kind of generosity is trust. We trust that God will provide for our needs. But we see the opposite in greed, which does not trust God. Greed tricks us into believing that there's not enough, and thus that God really won't provide for our needs. And if we think there's not enough, then we won't give. We cling to what we have because we think that's the only way to preserve our lives. But Jesus insists that being generous is the path to abundant life. And we can be generous because God is generous with us. In fact, God's blessings never run out. And that means we can never outgive God. Instead, we can give each and every day, knowing that God will continue to bless us. What I'm saying really boils down to a simple choice. We can choose to live with a clenched fist or an open hand. The choice is ours. Jesus reminds us that if we want to discover the life that really is life, if we want to discover abundant life, then we should open our hands and live richly toward God and toward other people. And by doing this, we actively combat the sin of greed. I want to invite you to put your hands in front of you and clench them into fists. And close your eyes now and join me in a spirit of prayer. What are the material things to which you cling too tightly? In what do you put your trust? Is it your possessions, your money, your status, your authority? To what do you hold on tightly and are unwilling to let go? I invite you to spend a few moments praying silently, asking God for forgiveness for the places where you have been greedy. As we continue now in a spirit of prayer, I invite you to open your clenched hands and cup them as if you're receiving something. What can you name that you know you've been given by God? What good gifts are yours because of God's grace? And what do you look forward to receiving from God today? Spend a few moments thanking God for these gifts and seek guidance as to how you might share them with others. Oh God, it is easy for us to crave and consume more. But in the wanting and getting of more, we can lose sight of you. Help us, Lord, to turn away from sin and greed and selfishness so that we might walk in the way of generosity and love and compassion. This is the way of Jesus. This is the way that we want to follow. We pray for your guidance as we do so. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. We will wrap up our service with a song in just a moment. But in your email this week with the worship bulletin, you also would have received a couple discussion questions for today's worship. I invite you to pause the worship and discuss these with your family or simply reflect over them at this time. But there are four questions. And the first question is for you to put this in your own words. How would you define greed? Second, in the sermon, I mentioned that greed is quite skilled at disguising itself. Now, do you agree that greed can disguise itself and come across in a virtuous way? Why or why not? And then the third question is, if fear is at the root of greed, then how might you address this fear in your life? And then finally, what action steps might you take this week to help you practice generosity?